You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, the third day of September. On the phone line is Jackie Bakes. She's from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. I'm really fine.
You know what I'm looking forward to most today is our evening event tonight, and it's not very far away, in Watsika. We'll be headed up there as soon as we get done here on the air and be around 4:30, 5 o'clock in Watsika for the first Trust and Savings Bank event. And you, along with Bill Gentry and Steve Fried, will be on our panel tonight.
Oh, and it's always really a great, great meeting, Todd. I tell you, I enjoy it when we do it up there every year. It's one of those situations where we have lots of good questions and some pretty pretty exciting reactions once in a while. So I think it's worthwhile for anybody to attend if they can.
Well, tonight you will have to explain why the market moved lower, but let's start this afternoon with that explanation. What happened in the corn pit today?
Well, I think the first side of it probably comes out of the fact that we had a 74% good to excellent rating on corn. They did not expect anything but unchanged, and beans, of course, along with it, went up to 72% again with only an unchanged. And, you know, they looked at it and said, boy, oh boy, you know, this weather obviously is helping, and a lot of the improvement came in the northern tier. Along with that, came out with the talk about 50% of the crop being completely finished here from a corn standpoint in Illinois by the 12th of September, and even 50% of the North Dakota crop, corn crop, being done by the 29th of September. I think that was a big surprise to an awful lot of people. And so we started to see a downward trend, and then, of course, we had a ceasefire in the Ukraine. And, you know, that Ukraine, you and I have been talking about this for a while. The Ukraine has managed to hold us up somewhat. And so today there just wasn't a whole lot of news there that a bull could bite into and really run with at all. And we just leaked lower. Basically, new contract low, basically, is all we did during the session today. It was a tough one.
Well, it was a tough session, but there are some things that have been happening in the marketplace where we have moved from our old crop to the new crop, in particular for corn, and we finally developed a carry in the marketplace. Does that mean anything to you, and what should producers be considering as they look at a carry in the marketplace?
Oh, my goodness. It means everything to me, Todd. I've been just talking with clients like crazy about figuring out when they expect to be marketing corn, because so many guys are talking about storing tremendous amounts of corn at home this year if they can. And what we're doing is we're going out to those particular months and we're protecting the carry. Some guys want to do it using futures. Most guys at the moment are using options, buying a put, selling a couple of calls against it, you know, letting the downside wide open and just sitting back and saying, hey. And, you know, for guys who are going to store at home, when you look at from September to July, the amount of carry in that market pays pretty close for everything you'd have to pay to store at the elevator. Although I'll tell you, I did hear today that there are some elevators charging a 12-cent dump charge and a 30-cent upfront charge, 42 cents just to put it into the elevator. And so if there's anything that's going to motivate guys to keep it at home, it's going to be that, or to try and find a different place to go. But, you know, you cannot expect to hold corn and not protect the carry in the marketplace.
Why not?
Why not?
if you like to
pay for somebody else's, I mean, let's face it, when you're holding corn, you're incurring expenses. You're incurring aeration expenses. You're incurring interest costs. You're incurring opportunity loss. You could use that cash for something else if you wanted to. So if you intend to do that, you need to take advantage of the opportunity that's out there right at this point in time. And, you know, I said to one guy today when we talked about it, the job of risk management is not to try and outguess the market and to say, oh, well, by the time I want to sell, it'll be higher than where it is right now. We don't know that, especially in light of the movement that we've been seeing in the U.S. dollar.
Right, and which brings me to another point, and you've been talking about this one for several weeks now on our air and other places, I'm sure with your clients too. The U.S. dollar has been, strengthening over time.
Yes, it certainly has. In fact, we put in a new 14-month high yesterday, And, you know, that presents a risk to our export business. And I had a guy this morning ask me, he said, well, won't these lower prices just increase demand? Well, you know, technically, if you look at it just straight on the face, yes. But Japan now has, again, regained its position as the largest corn buyer from us, so I use them. And so how does this move in the dollar affect them? I use 355 bushel of corn from today. Last week it was 367 to them. This week it's 372. Gulf basis stayed the same, plus 91. Now, that's what they're paying at the Gulf, so you know they're charging them more. But if we just use the 91 cents, that means that corn was 458 last week. This week it's 463, and now add shipping onto that. And you know, China, which had a record year of imports for beans this year at 2.58 billion bushels, how it impacts them, and their currency, Todd, doesn't float quite the same as other people's, but it still has an impact. And I looked from the May time frame until now. If you took a $10.20 bushel of beans, it's $10.37, and then you add $1.08 for what they're paying down charging down at the Gulf, that's $11.45 before shipping. How long does it take before we start to have people sit back and say, I'm not going to do it? You know, right now China's sitting back. They're not buying from South America. South Americans are complaining like crazy. It's because they're waiting for this big crop to come on here because they expect they're going to get a much better price. So we have to be able to take the picture and look at the whole picture, not just part of the picture. In other words, you know, low prices cure low prices, not necessarily in the face of a rising dollar.
So your expectation would be that imports might level off or go down, or exports, I mean, level off or go down, or what is your thought process here?
Well, what we're all hoping for, Todd, is that we're going to pick up that extra $200 million that USDA didn't build into the report so far. You know,
so that we would have 1.9, yeah.
Right. You know, and so everybody, including myself, would hope that that would be the case. If we do continue to slide higher on the dollar, I would expect that the likelihood of that happening continues to get lower. And if that's the case, you know, that's just an extra 200 million bushels that we're not going to get rid of. It's not about being scared. It's about doing risk management. It's about saying, is this likely and can it happen? And yes, that's absolutely the way it is. So I think at this point in time, we look at it and say, could we have a 2 billion bushel carryout? If indeed you believe the numbers that came out yesterday, 14.4 billion, 14.59 billion on corn, I don't know if I believe those or not, and they definitely depend on weather. But even anything above 14 billion is going to add to carryout unless we can move it in the export market. And so I don't want to see a 2 billion bushel carryout. I just don't want to see that. That is going to depress prices even further than where they are right now, for next year especially.
Well, those were some big numbers. One other item we probably should discuss just shortly before I let you go for the afternoon, then we get on our way towards Watsika, is the Ukraine. They're under a ceasefire at the moment.
They are, and, you know, of course, we're seeing more threats of sanctions against Russia. Now, some of these sanctions that are coming out are sounding pretty silly to me. The EU came out and said, oh, we want to do a sports sanction. In other words, they can't have the World Cup. I don't see where that's going to have a big impact. But one thing that did happen today was France actually did not deliver the assault Navy ship that they had sold to Russia that was supposed to be delivered this week. They said, no, we're not doing it. And so some of that is beginning to happen. The part that people, I think, miss sometimes is those sanctions. You know, we can hear everything about sanctions, but that hurts the EU economy. And if that hurts the EU economy, that has a trickle-down effect. And what investors from the EU then do is, just like we saw back in 2008, 9, and 10, they come here and they invest in our dollar. So that's another threat from a dollar standpoint. You know, and you talk about economies. I mean, Argentina's having all kinds of problems. Brazil is having some problems. In fact, they're talking now that they're going to actually plant shorter maturity beans to try and avoid any fungicide costs, which means they'll be competing with us in December this year if they do go through with that. But you look at the cost to plant in Mato Grosso right now is estimated at $9.75 to $10.10, depending upon the exchange rate and the yield. And last year, GMOs ran about $8.38, non-GMOs $8.65. And corn on average, this is for all the states in Brazil, ran 440 for full season corn, 451 for short season corn. Those numbers are not going to pencil. when you look at where things are at this point in time. So from an overall picture, we have to very much have ourselves prepared for the, you know, the world economy. We're making an adjustment in the grain market.
Hey, thanks so much, and I'll see you in just a bit.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. That is Jackie Vex, and in fact, I will see her in just a bit as we head towards Watseka this afternoon for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. She'll be on the panel along with Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services and Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities.